This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
So I would urge the president, in the very strongest of terms, to abandon his plan for this executive amnesty and to heed the very clear message that voters sent last Tuesday.
Fighting for Idaho.
So we've got some cheers going on behind us. Do we know what's going on? They don't look so excited.
Yes, we're down on the surface. That's
what a moment, really. I mean,
fighting for you.
Ustedes están escuchando a Kevin Miller en 580 KIDO. Gracias.
Boise's Mr. Right.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Weather is the big story. Phone numbers here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We are urging you to give us a call and tell us if you are going to be open. There are a lot of closings. 580KIDO.com for the latest. We'll go over that list as well. While we're rolling along this morning, Bishop Kelly closed. Also, Boise, Caldwell, West Ada, Nampa, Ontario, Adrian, Compass, Public Charter, Falcon Ridge, Four Rivers, Greenleaf Friends, Liberty Charter, CUNA, Middleton, Vision Charter, Wilder, CWI, currently delayed until 11:30, and Boise State is closed. But our work never stops, certainly when it comes to the economy and your pocketbook. Joining us now is Josh Withrow, our great friend from FreedomWorks. Josh, good to have you back.
Good morning, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
Now, this is crazy. I just heard that at the top of the hour that the president's thinking about vetoing the Keystone Pipeline. Well, I guess not again, but if all of, and this is the old Congress, who knows how he's going to get along with the new one? What does Keystone mean as far as energy and jobs to people here in America?
Yeah, I think Keystone has in a lot of ways become a symbol for the for a larger sort of war on energy development that the Obama administration has been waging pretty successfully for 6 years now. The pipeline itself would only create, you know, a certain number of jobs, many of which would be temporary, but it would, you know, it would create a new source of energy flowing down to the Gulf. And but the problem is much larger than that. The administration has been placing a hold on dozens or possibly even hundreds of energy projects throughout the country, from pipelines to fracking projects to oil drilling. And so, you know, I think he's President Obama's made pretty clear that he's going to continue waging this war on American economic and energy development. And, you know, the Keystone Pipeline is just one symptom of that major problem.
What do you make of this, though, that it's become a war for the president? Josh, I mean, look, we all are partisan. We all, except you guys, you're nonpartisan. But we all have our teams that we root for. But sooner or later, we think to ourselves, well, for the overall national good, why not?
Yeah, I mean that's a good question, but you know, like you said, he is partisan, and for him and his team, this is more ideological than practical. If you look at it pragmatically, you know, you realize that by tapping some of these amazing energy resources we have, America's economy could be entering a period of a boom period that could be as large as anything we've ever seen in our lifetimes. So pragmatically, it makes no sense not to tap these sort of resources. But for these guys, they do believe that that there's a negative impact on the environment from these projects that is large enough in its impact to justify going ahead and killing all these potential jobs and all this potential wealth creation.
You know, it is crazy when you think of this administration. You would think that they would have gotten a lesson from what happened in the election, like the course correction that we saw that Bill Clinton did when he got routed in 94. That just doesn't seem to happen with this crew.
Yeah, I agree. I think Barack Obama has definitely revealed that he is no compromiser. I mean, I guess in some way you almost have to give him credit. He sticks to his guns even when his own party is mad at him for doing it. You look at Mary Landrieu down there in Louisiana, who's desperately trying to get, you know, vote on the Keystone XL and some other energy votes to prove that, you know, she's not like this guy, and he's continuing to be so tone deaf even to his own party's pleas that he still is going to sort of throw her out with the bathwater and veto this anyway. Yeah, the president does not compromise. He hasn't, and he seems like he's going to continue not compromising at all.
How do you see this lame duck session playing out? Of course, in the past, we've seen such great job creators as NAFTA, GATT, and the WTO happen in lame duck sessions. Josh, your thoughts and what FreedomWorks is monitoring on this lame duck session coming up?
So obviously, you know, the first order of business and what really ought to be the only order of business is that, you know, Congress does have to pass a funding bill before they go out. And they're talking about trying to do this in the form of an omnibus appropriations bill, which would allow them to mess with funding levels and stuff like that. But realistically, there's a pretty good chance they end up just passing another continuing resolution and moving on. So the thing that we're the things that we're monitoring most closely are actually in the Senate. It looks like we're going to get a vote on this USA Freedom Act, which is a which is an NSA spying reform bill. And also Harry Reid has indicated he wants to prioritize the Marketplace Fairness Act, which is a bill that would allow states to collect internet sales taxes from citizens in from businesses in other states. And we're very strongly in favor of the USA Freedom Act, and we're encouraged to see it come up for a vote. We're very wary of the Marketplace Fairness Act and hoping that that doesn't end up going anywhere.
What would happen if the Marketplace Fairness Act goes through and is signed by the president?
The thing that's so insidious about the Marketplace Fairness Act is that it would fundamentally change the relationship of states to taxpayers. I mean, one of the fundamental things that has governed tax law throughout the entire history of the country is that states do not have the authority to reach over the borders of other states and collect taxes from citizens in those states. Obviously, some people would argue the internet has sort of invalidated this idea of physical borders. But even in the collection of internet sales taxes, most of the states that do collect from online retailers collect from the businesses which are selling things in their own states. I think it's a really dangerous precedent to set to allow states to do this, especially in an era where internet commerce is more and more becoming dominant.
I know. I don't know about you. Are you an Amazon guy?
Absolutely.
I was very reluctant, but you know, part of the changes, Josh, when I got married, and people know this here at 580KIDO, is Mrs. Miller is a big Amazon person. And, you know, you can get things a lot cheaper and a lot quicker, which is almost counterintuitive because we're taught from birth to go to the store for things.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. Online retailing is there will always be a place for physical retailers. There's nothing quite like being able to actually touch and handle and see for yourself an item before you buy it. So there'll always be a place for it. But yeah, more and more commerce is going to start going to these online retailers. And so that's why it's so absolutely crucial that we have a rational and functional tax collection system for the states, if they're going to tax sales at all, that does not violate the constitutional precedents for what states are allowed to do.
Well, we've seen that a lot lately, that states pass constitutional amendments and whoops, out the door. FreedomWorks, are you all about the states' rights?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the encouraging things I think that's come out of this last election is not only was there a Republican sweep in the federal level, but at the state level, I believe Republicans now control, I think, 69 of the total state chambers nationwide. And I think when it comes to, you know, limiting government and implementing sort of conservative reforms, a lot of the best policy that you're ever going to see starts with the states. You know, welfare reform in the 90s happened at the state level first. Some of the better education reforms in the country are happening at the state level. And so, the states are supposed to be the laboratories of democracy. And I think, I hope that this new resurgence of control of state legislatures will see a lot of good stuff coming out.
When we take a look at other issues that are at the forefront, you know, we have, Josh, the unemployment rate going down. But on the other hand, you know, the jobs still aren't there. People continue to check out. We have the Fed that continues to pump money, at hand. The stock market's going crazy, but there's no rising tide. Just the boats, most boats are dry docked still.
Yeah, I mean, the continued lack of growth of incomes and the continued lack of growth in the workforce, yeah, is a real problem. And so, yeah, the economy is great for those who are employed. And for the increasing number of people who aren't, it's not really looking so nice. And I think this is unfortunately going to continue as long as we don't see some sort of tax reform that makes us more competitive with the rest of the world. And as long as we continue to see the kind of massive regulatory burdens that this administration has dramatically accelerated, placing on all of the businesses in our economy.
Josh Withrow with us as we continue on from FreedomWorks here at 580 KIDO. Anything else that we should be looking out for, let's say, with the new Congress?
You know, so the new Congress, there's a lot of opportunity there. Some people are kind of pessimistic because obviously President Obama is still there to veto any laws that they pass. But I think they have a dual opportunity. One, they have the opportunity to lay out a policy agenda, to kind of lay out truly what a conservative vision of government would look like. And even if President Obama vetoes some of the bills that they pass, they'll be out there. People will be on record voting for or against them, and that has value in and of itself. And secondly, there are a few issues that are bipartisan in nature that I think they can actually work with. I'm not sure whether the president will sign them or not, but I know that there are Democrats in Congress who'd be willing to go there. Things like criminal justice reform, NSA spying reform, and even possibly corporate tax reform that we might not be entirely sort of a lame duck Congress. Might be able to get some stuff done.
Josh, anything else that FreedomWorks, if people would like to join, why should they join?
FreedomWorks is a service center to the grassroots all across the nation. You know, we try to figure out what's happening here in Washington and that marble building across the street and try to break the information down and empower activists to be able to become more informed and engaged citizens with their government. And so I'd encourage you all to check out our information at freedomworks.org, maybe join up on our mailing list, and we're out there trying to just help people make their voices heard.
Josh, we appreciate it. Don't be a stranger. Thank you very much for the update, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right. Josh Withrow with us here. Kevin Miller in the morning at 580 KIDO. Of course, our news partners, Channel 7, very much on the case concerning traffic and weather. Let's hear from Bonnie Shelton now at 580 KIDO.
We're just off Orchard, and we've been noticing a lot of people taking it easy today, which is exactly what dispatchers and also county representatives that I've been talking to have been recommending this morning as the commute really gets going. And I just talked with Ada County Dispatch. They say things are somewhat quiet right now. They did have one crash to report. That was near Cherry and Vista, and they had crews on scene there, but it was a non-injury crash. So I wanted to let you know about that in case they're slowing in that area. They also said they haven't had any slide-offs to report in the last few minutes, but I'll keep checking in with them. We did see at least one car stalled on the hill here on Orchard, so be aware of that. You're going to need to take some extra time this morning and really be careful. Other than that, we've seen a lot of plows out, so make sure you're giving a lot of space between you and those vehicles as they're out on the road today, trying to keep these roads clear. Ada County has been spreading salt and sand in some of those more dicey intersections where some cars have been slipping and sliding. We've seen that this morning, too. So we're going to keep moving. We'll bring you another report in about a half an hour, and I'll keep checking in with dispatchers, too, to see what they're seeing.
Thank you, Bonnie. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Kevin Miller with you here. Let's go to the phones about the driving conditions. Ronnie from Caldwell joins us at 580-KIDO.
I'm joining you live from the Kevin Miller Show in the morning to tell you that driving conditions are code red horrible. And I want to let you know, dude, that I've personally seen some pretty nasty accidents, and most of it is that because people are stupid, dude, and they don't know the basic concept, dude, of driving when you're in the snow. And I was wondering if you'd like me to help your listeners.
You're on a short leash this morning.
Why am I on a short
drive
leash
on
again, dude?
Come on, chop chop.
Okay. So here's the thing, everybody. If you've ever watched an episode of Dukes of Hazzard, or if you've ever watched
Linda and Emmett, good morning. You're on 580 KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin. I've been up here 11 years now from California, and everybody would say to me, oh, the winters are terrible. Oh, the winters are so bad. Well, I grew up in Buffalo, New York, and we used to get the lakefront storms that would come in. And I think the one that comes the closest to anything that I would compare to upstate New York was the winter of 06.
So now we've gone from driving like Ronnie in the Dukes of Hazzard to reminiscing about Buffalo winters?
Well, it's winter time and it's snowing, you know? Come on. I unless I absolutely have to go someplace today, it better be worse than Texas, Texas.
I didn't know that we called for winter reliving memories, Linda.
Well, sorry, Kevin, but this weather is... I was out yesterday.
I knew there was something I liked about you, that you were from Buffalo.
but poor Buffalo. But at any rate, I was out yesterday about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I will tell you, our roads up here were getting really, really bad. The ones that they hadn't sanded, you better be careful because you'll slide right through the intersection going sideways. It was really, really tricky, and I thought to myself, then I thought, oh boy, if we get hit, things are going to get interesting.
Well, we got hit.
I'm looking for a reindeer and a sleigh. So, if you hear one for rent, call me back and let me know.
I think you're looking for a jolly elf.
Well, I don't think you're bad either.
Thank you, Linda.
Be careful, dear.
You too.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye. 7:21, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to traffic.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Joining us now, Teresa Baker from the Idaho State Police. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
You know, it's funny. I was looking at our Twitter feed, and I saw that y'all favorited a tweet, and it gave me an idea. I said, boy, the state police are out in this. How goes it?
It is rough out there. We have as many troopers out that we can get out. We have to cover, a lot of time and a lot of roads. So we are getting to slide off as fast as we can and crashes as fast as we can. And we would just urge people to really to slow down because it is not necessarily the weather causing crashes, but people not adjusting to the weather and crashes.
What are the challenges for y'all in your vehicles? I was saying you got these impressive chargers, but aren't they – and maybe it's a little too inside, but rear-wheel drive. I mean, I'm obsessed with front-wheel drive cars, so.
They are rear-wheel drive.
I know. I can't say it either, yeah.
Are trained. They, you know, they do a lot of training and driving in these kind of conditions, and they get a lot of experience out there during this time of year, so.
Teresa, unfortunately, you know, you've got these accidents and stuff on the highways where people are going faster than anywhere else. Can you give us some tips on if you see the red lights going and an officer's pulled someone over, maybe trying to help them out of a ditch? What can people do to ensure the safety of the folks on the road and the police officers?
Well, in Idaho, we do have a move over law. So if you do see emergency vehicles or tow trucks in the lane coming up ahead of you, you need to move over to the next lane and slow down if you can't move over, and bolt if you can. That is regardless of the time of year or what's going on. So we would encourage people to move over if they can and definitely slow down. In the construction areas, we have, you know, even a bigger problem is that there's not a lot of room to move over. And if there's crashes in some of those one-lane areas, it's going to back up traffic and cause problems further down the interstate.
Is there a number one safety tip that people can listen to it that would minimize their chances of getting into an accident this morning?
Yes, I think I've said it maybe 5 times, but we encourage people to slow down. You cannot drive at the normal speed limits in these conditions. You need to leave more room in between yourself and the car in front of you. You may get going, 50 or 60 miles per hour, but that doesn't mean that you can stop any faster.
Yeah, I had a guy behind me spin out, then he got back right and kept going, and with the additional people on the roads, it just increases the probability of a wreck.
It does, and when people see somebody have a crash or slide off in front of them, it causes them to react and them to perhaps lose control of their vehicle. And right now we have working on a multiple semi truck crash just outside of Burley, and the interstate's completely shut down. It's going to be shut down for a couple of hours, and again, probably due to people driving too fast in conditions.
And we've got that, the latest on that accident on Linder, over by Linder on the highway as well?
Over on the interstate on near Linder. I don't know if there's one off of on actual Linder Road,
yeah,
but on
near,
the interstate at about milepost 43, that is just a slide off. I don't believe there's any lanes blocked right there. We also have slide offs at milepost 34, which is Northside Boulevard over in Nampa, and at 36 over in Nampa. We don't think there are any lane blockage right now, but then again, that was as of 2 minutes ago.
I'm with you. It's a stressful morning. You know, we so appreciate your great work and the work of the fine officers that are out there, because you can't call off if you're working the public safety.
No, you can't. It's tough out there, and our troopers are working hard, as well as all the other law enforcement agencies and our folks in the transportation department, and then the tow truck drivers who are working really hard as well.
Boy, now you talk about white gold for tow truck drivers and snowplowers today.
Yeah, I'm sure they are getting some overtime today.
Teresa, if you have the time, I know you're very busy. We'd love to have you back. Thank you for keeping us informed this morning.
Okay, thank you for having us.
And coming up, we'll talk to our friend Mike Tracy. We'll go over the election, find out what's next. Keep it here. Stay informed. 580 KIDO.
And back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs.
Good morning. Continuing coverage coming up of the snow, of the weather. By the way, we have a live report. Our friend Mike Tracy joined us. You got here early.
I did. We had a lot of snow out on the roads, obviously, and I decided to come in a little bit early this morning. I'm an early riser anyway, and I said,
sure.
You know, between 5:30 and 6, it might be good to go down Fairview, stay away from the interstate, and stay on a another road other than the interstate.
How were the conditions when you came in from Meridian?
The roads were sloppy.
Yeah.
I mean, I what was really interesting is I thought there would have been a lot more snow plows in some of those main road areas, but it didn't look like a lot of plows had been in some of those areas yet. Even on Fairview, which was kind of surprising. And even coming down here, the roads were pretty sloppy from downtown Boise out here to the studio.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was driving in from Star, and I kept going, if I can just make it to Eagle Road, I'll be good. And I was very disappointed. Mike, I've been wanting to talk to you for a while. You were very confident in your predictions concerning what happened here in November. How did Governor Otter come back from a man who worked hard, who outspent him, had a very stealth yet effective social media campaign, and win bigger than a lot of folks projected?
Well, I think, first of all, Idaho is a very Republican state. It's a very conservative state. I think that there were all the polling data, internal and external, I saw over the 60, 70, 80 days prior to the election, just told me that, you know, this was going to happen. And what I saw that last 10 days told me that Butch and the rest of the constitutional slate was likely going to win. And most of those wins weren't just by a little bit. They were slaughters. State Treasurer Ron Crane, for instance, was supposed to have a challenge from Deb Silver. That was a slaughter. He won by 24 points. Lawrence Denny was supposed to be a close race. That was not a close race.
Outspent big time.
Yeah, well, it was probably 5-1.
Right.
Maybe more on television. You know, the same thing with Butch. You know, the thing is a lot of people came back home. A lot of Republicans came back home and voted. We did see, that split in Ada County. But we talked about this a little before the show started, or before we got on the air, and Eastern Ada County, the Boise area, voted heavy Democrat. Western Ada County, heavy Republican. The county is really divided, and but the rest of the state voted very heavy Republican. And I think Senator Risch said it best the next morning. He said there's probably about 4 editorial writers out there whose heads are exploding this morning,
right,
trying to figure this out. Well, there's nothing to figure out. Idaho is a Republican state. Idaho's a conservative state, and I think voters just came back. Blukoff spent more money than I've ever seen anybody spend. He spent more of his own money than I've ever seen anybody, and he just got over 38% of the vote. I mean, the base Democrat vote is around 34-35%. Those are the hardcore Democrat voters that vote Democrat no matter what, and he got maybe 3 more points by spending all that money. that tells me that his message did not resonate at all with people in Idaho.
Well, let me hit you, and it's funny because I have 27 questions for you, but we'll start one at a time here at 580KIDO. You look at one of our great states in the West, Colorado, at one time a reliable conservative state, yet you had big money progressives come in from the East Coast, spend a lot of money, flip that to blue, now it's purple. Even though we had this resounding victory for Republicans, could that happen in Idaho?
I think that's a long way down the road. I think if there's going to be any change, it's going to be here in Ada County. But again, what we're seeing is a real split in Ada County. And I think where the growth is happening is in western Ada County, and it's very conservative out there. And the people that are moving into western Ada County, very conservative Republican people, Boise is only going to be able to grow so much. Although the city council and the mayor are trying to grow Boise, the city of Boise, by annexing. There's not a lot of building room left in the city of Boise. The only way the city of Boise can grow is for them to just glom on through annexation, which is what's going on right now. And there's a lot of people that are very upset about that. The areas out in western Ada County, Star, Eagle, Meridian, Cuna, those areas are growing because people are moving there from a lot of different places, not only in the western United States, but other places that are fed up with some of the liberal policies that they're seeing in places like Colorado, California, wherever they're at. I just don't see that change, especially when you saw the massive rejection of the message this last election cycle.
Yeah, at 580KIDO, our friend Mike Tracy with us, breaking down the big political stories. Does this solve the governor or the Republicans' issue on education? We saw Props 1, 2, and 3, blah, blah, blah. Mr. Belukoff went all in on education. You had people talking about Otter fatigue. You had all this. And it was the perfect storm against Governor Otter. And yet, Mr. Belukoff maxed out everything. He maxed out, you know, is 38% the max for the education vote?
I think that was probably where that came from, was some of that education interest. But the education question is always there. As somebody who's been not only very involved myself in education, my wife's a teacher, I hear about it every day.
Right, because you have the insight. Yes.
I have the insight, and I hear about the problems that are going on at the ground level. And she teaches special education in Nampa School District, South Middle School. She heads up the department out there. So I hear on a daily basis the problems that teachers are dealing with on the ground. And there are so many different issues. It's not just about the money. We hear that all the time. We're not spending enough money. We're not doing this. There's lots of money out there. The problem is there's so many rules and regulations. My wife has a book that is about 3 to 4 inches thick of rules and regs that she's got to deal with. She doesn't get to spend the majority of her time teaching. She's having meetings. She's doing analysis and evaluations and all these different things. And it's really frustrating. And I think teachers will tell you, let us teach. You know, when we were going to school, teachers taught. There weren't all these rules and regulations and other things going on. When we were in the classroom, we were learning something.
Well, yeah, it comes down to these unfunded mandates and the public schools. And a lot of folks that, you know, haven't been in the school system don't understand that, you know, a charter school, a magnet school, private school, they've got advantages because they don't have to adhere to a lot of these mandates. Your wife knows all about the bureaucracy of labeling for kids. That's a challenge with either it's mainstream or discipline. So, I mean, there's a lot of burden going on. So education wasn't the silver bullet to Governor Otter. How does he govern now with the new legislature coming in? And, you know, you've got the challenges of Medicaid expansion. You've got the transportation issue, the lands issue that the governor had addressed during the campaign. Are those the big issues, or is there something we're missing?
No, I think you hit all the big issues. I mean, they're going to be a challenge. They're going to be real battles in the legislature. I think what you have to look at is what's going on the House side. If something, you know, the House is very conservative, and if something doesn't get out of the House, it's not likely to get to the governor's desk. It's going to take a lot of work by the Speaker to get certain things out of that body. It's a different story on the Senate. It's a little less conservative. That the House side, though, very, very conservative. And I think you're not going to see legislation come out of there that is not very thoughtful, very conservative in its approach. They're just going to really hold the line. And I think the governor can lead. I mean, that's not a problem. I mean, he can push and cajole and bring leadership in and do all those things, and he will. But you know, these issues have been around a long time. I mean, when I did the 96 campaign between Walt Minnick and Larry Craig, the big issue was education.
Right.
That's what they focused on, right. Education. And it didn't resonate with voters then. He didn't. Walt Minnick did the same thing. He spent almost $2 million, most of it was his own money. And
well, that's like $4 million today, or $6 million.
And 1996, 18 years ago, and he didn't reach 40%. I think he got 39%, just maybe a half a percent more than Belukov got in this election cycle, 18 years later. So. Educate, you know, the Democrats always push the education issue. That's their issue. But Republicans, it's an issue for them as well. We just approach it differently. Education to us, it's not about how much money you spend, it's how you spend the money.
More coming up with Mike Tracy, Kevin Miller next, 580 KIDO. Time for traffic.
Kenzie, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Mike Tracy with us as we continue on. Mike, when you're not running political campaigns, what are you doing?
Well, I work with a lot of other clients, and one that you know of is CAPED. We've been very successful with what we've done with the branding we've done with them. One of the things we do is we focus on teachers. We focus on teachers in the classroom, and that's been the message and the branding for the last 6 years. And, you know, they've been very supportive of some of the programs you've been on. And I work with clients like that. And I work with associations, companies, or various organizations, some individuals.
You do media training?
I do some media training once in a while, do some crisis management training. One of the things I learned a long time ago, it doesn't matter if you're an individual, an organization, association, a company, you're going to have a crisis at
right.
some point in the lifetime of that entity, whatever it is. And if you don't think you are, just look at anybody who's been around for a while. There's been a crisis that has arisen, and that crisis has got to be dealt with somehow. I remember when I first started working with the senator, they had no crisis management plan, and I said, the senator flies back and forth every weekend between D.C. and Idaho. What if the plane goes down? Would that constitute a crisis? And nobody had really ever thought about that. And I think that, you know, when you look at that, how do you handle that? What do you do next? What happens? And organizationally, there's always something out there that can happen. And it doesn't matter what you're doing, who you are. There's going to be crises in your life, in organizations' lives. It just happens.
It seems to me, and the reason why I ask you is no matter what your business, because of the internet, we all need media training.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things we've done, we've really worked hard to try to expand our social media presence out there, not just with our company, but with our clients. I mean, we still have a very heavy traditional media presence in Idaho because of there's a variety of factors. Part of it's geographic. Part of it is availability of certain types of internet accesses in various areas. But you get outside of the Boise area, and traditional media still has a real stronghold, and it still has a stronghold in this marketplace,
right.
In the Boise market. Traditional media still has a great audience.
So let me ask you, and again. As someone who's a trained media professional, if people want some advice, how can they get a hold of you? And like I said, if I weren't doing this, I'd be getting media training just because I see it all the time with things when things happen.
Well, they can just go online and just go on
Google you.
Just Google and Tracy Consulting and TracyConsult.com, yeah. And just go online and our website, and they can see some of the things we do there and see how to contact us. And we're always happy to work with people. And we do, you know, we do a lot of different kinds of training. We do, what I like to do is I like to go into an organization and see what they're doing and how they're doing it. And a lot of times what I have found is people are spending their money incorrectly. And sometimes they're spending money they just don't need to spend.
My favorite is, well, I have someone to handle that. Well, if you're not in touch, you've got problems. Mike Tracy, we appreciate it.
Hey, thank you very much, Ken. Appreciate it.
You're listening to 580. Coming up next, Fox News, weather, traffic. Keep it here.
Serving